and we have Harley Schlanger from Berlin. Harley, what's the latest issues that you want to cover today? Because I don't think I have a head up from your office in Houston.
Yeah, I had a very busy day today, and I neglected to get in touch with them.
That's okay. You can just tell me the list, and I'm sure I can get it posted up after.
The most important thing is that we're seeing dramatic shifts in the world everywhere, but in the Europe and to some extent the elites in the transatlantic don't get it at all. They're so busy trying to find problems with Trump that they're missing the broad shift of the population out from under the control of Wall Street and the existing establishment. It's not yet consolidated. That is, the American people don't fully know what they want or need, but they know what they don't want. They don't want Wall Street. They don't want neocons. They don't want neoliberal economics. And Trump has, as he said at the end of his speech in Cincinnati last week, I am your messenger. So I think we're seeing this shift take place. I was at an extraordinary conference on Monday of the German African Chamber of Commerce, where the German businessmen were lecturing the Africans on why they have to go with free trade and with the International Monetary Fund. And one African leader after another stood up and said, "You don't get it. There's a change in the world. You're not the only game in town. We have the Chinese. We have the Indians. We have the Japanese." And at one point I stood up and I said, "This is the new paradigm, and if people in Germany don't get with it, Europe is going to disappear." Because the most recent development, there were two votes on Sunday. Now, one was being hailed, the Austrian vote, as a reaction against what they called Trumpism. But it really wasn't the same thing, because the Austrian so-called right-winger had no program. And so he was just running based on people being angry. And people.
So in other words, he didn't have a proper program, way to connect with the people.
Yeah. And he didn't tell them what he wanted to do. So the so-called right wing in Austria lost to the moderate green candidate. That's for the president. It has no power in Austria, but it was symbolic. But the vote that was significant was in Italy, where the Italian prime minister, who attached himself to Merkel, he was one of those who was at the meeting of the has-beens when Obama did his trip to Berlin 2 weeks ago. He had put up a referendum to make Italy more in line with European Union policy. And the referendum was defeated 60-40. And so the prime minister is resigning. Renzi is going to resign. So if you think about it, Hollande, the French president, announced he's not running for re-election in the last few days. Renzi is stepping down. Rajoy in Spain is an interim minister. Theresa May in Britain is an interim prime minister. The only one who's solid at all is Merkel, and she's a disaster. So this is the shift that's occurring. And no amount of Putin bashing or Russia bashing can explain what's going on. What's going on is that the population in the Western countries is sick and tired of being lectured, of being told they're stupid, they're racist, they're ignorant, that they just should listen to Wall Street, listen to the New York Times. People are tired of that. And so we have – and then secondly, Dr. Bill, just to end the opening statement, the Russian, China, India new paradigm is making extraordinary progress. In Aleppo, Syria, there was a breakthrough militarily in the last 48 hours with the Syrian troops moving into East Aleppo, routing some of the rebel forces there. And by rebel forces, I mean al-Qaeda, who are armed and protected by the United States. They're being crushed now in Aleppo, Syria. And if that can continue on the direction it's going, then that's going to be a tremendous defeat. A final defeat for Obama, on top of losing the free trade agreements, having his health care plan collapse. I'll tell you one other thing interesting. In private discussions, I was told a senator, a Democratic senator who went to meet with Trump, Trump asked him about support for Glass-Steagall. And he said, well, maybe we could try to attach it to Dodd-Frank. And Trump said, no, Dodd-Frank's gone. We're not going to do that. I want you to work with me on Glass-Steagall.
Right.
And the senator was somewhat shocked, but he said, well, okay, let me think about it.
So why are they still behind Trump? Trump is coming in as a novice businessman, and he's ahead of these career politicians. It's just, it's bizarre, isn't it?
Well, not really. And I know you're asking that as the devil's advocate.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing it as to kind of pull forward the fact that these guys know better and aren't going to do better.
Well, you're giving me a softball here. Look, it's not even just that they know better. They're corrupt, immoral.
And there you go.
And they're committed to a system which increases the wealth of the upper 1%, which destroys the middle class, destroys industry, is attempting to destroy our country politically. And there's a rejection of that from the population. And they don't get it because they think, they believe Thomas Friedman, the New York Times scribbler, who said there is no alternative to this neoliberal globalist economic system. Well, there is an alternative, and the people who think there's no alternative are getting their clocks cleaned.
Why do they think that their arrogance and their bluster can make us change our minds en masse so that we will kowtow to a suicidal plan?
For the last 20 years, we have. You know, if you look at the last three presidencies, the last four presidencies, Bush Sr., you know, Clinton, to his credit, Clinton did resist in some areas. But he went with the free trade policy. He repealed Glass-Steagall. Then you had George W. Bush, who never should have come near the White House. And then you had Obama, who was a nobody, who was promoted by George Soros and some CIA networks, and against the better interests of the American people. So it's taken us, what, from 1988 to the present, that's, what, 20-something years, where the American people allowed themselves to be led by incompetence and morons.
Yeah.
It took us a while to wake up, but I think the population is catching up with the rest of the world, the U.S. population, and I hope that Americans will see that the government of China, even though it's a one-party dictatorship, the government of China is doing more for its people than any of the last four presidents of the United States did. That these are our allies.
They know that their own survival of the Communist Party depends on it. And obviously the politicians here in America don't think that, especially why Hillary Clinton didn't connect. She didn't care. She just thought she deserved to be president.
And when you think about the what you have in China, there you had Mao, you had the Communist Party when it was truly brutal, repressive dictatorship that promoted this idea of the Cultural Revolution in the late 60s, early 70s.
There's still some brutality in China. They have Luddite camps. They have a two-child policy, but the third child, they'll abort the woman right up to the moment of delivery. And if you do anything to tick off the Communist Party now in the last few years, they've gotten a lot tighter. They're not super tolerant because they're afraid that their population's going to start wanting a lot more reforms a lot faster as the old guard dies off. So, yes, they've done a lot of things for their population because they know for every new job that's available in China, there's 7 to 9 qualified people with degrees or technical training on how to build things. So China's not exactly totally stable either.
Look what they've done. They lifted 700 million people out of poverty.
Oh, that's true. Absolutely true. They knew that the rice bowl in China was essential to the Communist Party even surviving. They knew that they didn't do this. But here in America, we don't see that, do we?
Well, and what I was saying about China is that there was a profound shift after the Cultural Revolution of Mao Zedong, which was anti-human. It was anti-science. It was anti-culture. You know, it was a cultural revolution designed to destroy anybody who had any knowledge, very much like what the Khmer Rouge did in Cambodia. If you wore glasses, they assumed that meant you read, and therefore they had to kill you. Now, what Deng Xiaoping did starting in 77, 78, and this was partly the impulse from Nixon's visit to China, he carried out economic reforms that emphasize science and technology. So many of the people governing China today are from the generation of the early 80s, where right. they had a very extensive scientific and education. They've brought back Western classical music in a big way. And so what they've been able to do is make extraordinary strides. And as you and I have talked, and I know you are well aware of this, they initially imitated Western technologies, but then they mastered the principles behind them, not just imitation. So they're now able to leapfrog some of what we have in the West.
Right.
And it's and so, you know, if you look at the, I mean, we don't need a one-party dictatorship in the United States, but in a sense, we've had one party. It's the Wall Street Party. So we can say whatever we want about Chinese communism, but we're, how different were we?
Exactly.
The difference was that Trump broke out of that.
Right.
He refused to go along with it. Now, he's paying a price for that. There's a huge effort to get him to go back to the neocons, to go with the neoliberals, to bring in some of the Wall Street people. But I'll tell you a little secret. The people who say that bringing Jamie Dimon into the jobs panel is a capitulation to Wall Street, what Trump basically did is put him in a position where he has no influence and no policymaking power. Did anyone ever hear about Obama's jobs panel? They didn't do a damn thing. They have no power. This was a way of saying to Dimon, gee, did you see how unpopular you were when we floated your name for Treasury Secretary? You got smashed. So we'll throw you a crumb. Just don't go against us. It's still unclear what Trump will do on some of these things. But he made clear in Cincinnati last Friday, no regime change, no wars. We're not going to follow that blueprint anymore. And I think that's where you see the panic from the establishment that wants him to continue to threaten Russia, and he's not going to do it.
Yeah, I think here's what I think in the next decade. Russia, I know I've heard we have Joel Skousen saying that they're preparing for a war with America. And to be honest with you, any nation contemplating thermonuclear war is asking for their own annihilation, whether it's China, Russia, or America. And what I think you're going to see is the reemergence of Tsarist Russia, which is happening with the majority of citizens in Ukraine and other areas that are coming back to the sphere of influence of the Soviet, of Russia. And I don't think you're going to see the reemergence of the Soviet Union. That's not going to happen. And China, China, by the way, is acting a little bit too aggressive. In the South China Sea, they're trying to control this corridor and basically say you can't go through it. Well, it's an international corridor. And I think they, with somebody like Trump, he's going to do some hard negotiations. The fact that he received this phone call from the Taiwanese president, the new lady Taiwanese president, means that China better smarten up. And they're talking real tough. But you can't talk tough to Trump. I don't think the average person, left or right, really understands how tough this guy is coming out of real estate development in New York City. They're in for a hell of a time. And he wants to get a good deal. He wants a good deal for China and a good deal for us. And, Bill, and if they want, and if they want to play ball, it's going to be okay.
But that's the dominant factor. Trump is not looking for a war, and neither are the Chinese or the Russians. The Russian
right.
buildup was completely a reaction to what Obama did to put NATO troops on the borders of Russia and put a neo-Nazi fascist regime in power in Ukraine. So that was
of
what
course.
The Russians
were doing. It's a Russian response. It's a, in fact, yeah. if without the restraint of Putin, it'd probably be a lot worse.
Well, now let me tell you the other side of this, because all the talk of the South China Sea. Look, the Chinese sat down with the Philippines and Malaysia and worked out their differences.
I'm sure that could be worked out with us too.
Of course they could. Now, in the meantime, last August, the RAND Corporation put out a report at the request of the U.S. military titled War with China, Thinking the Unthinkable. Now,
right.
you may remember Thinking the Unthinkable was the famous scenario monger Herman Kahn, who was in the 50s and 60s a leading nuclear war strategist.
Right.
He said, if you're going to go to nuclear war, you might as well have a winning plan. Now, what the RAND Corporation said is that we could have a very bloody and painful conventional war with China, but we better make sure we're going to win it. Now, the Chinese don't want a war, but I can assure you that if they think they're going to get nuked, they will use their nuclear weapons. So where's the impetus coming from for war? It's coming from the globalists who want to stop infrastructure development. They're the same people who are attacking Trump. They were the never Trump crowd in both parties.
Right. Well, so there's three barriers. The first one is people aren't aware that since they developed the U.S. Space Shield, which was started under Reagan, they underfunded it. But if they completed it, America and its allies could never be struck by a nuclear weapon. That will probably be completed in the next 10 years. The second issue is nobody in their right mind wants to start a big war, conventional otherwise. And the fact for Russia or China to project power across the Pacific or Atlantic Oceans is pretty damn near impossible with our weapon systems and our countermeasures. So neither we are safe nor they are. And although they have underground bases in China and Russia, and they have, you know, all these underground shelters, and America has virtually none, we really don't have a Department of Defense. We have a Department of Offense. And this is basically used as a chess player on the geopolitical board. It's not really to promulgate war. In fact, Trump's made it very clear. He's rebuilding the military not to engage in war, but to engage in structural movements toward peace.
Well, so, Billy, so he also said, which country, Russia, China, or the U.S., has 380 military bases throughout the world?
Right.
Who has troops all over the world? Who has planes and ships all over the world? It's us. The United States has become the global empire. And under Bush and Obama, which nation is engaged in regime change, has killed presidents of countries, has run dirty operations, dirty tricks operations?
Well, like we support and created ISIS to take out Bashar al-Assad, when in fact we should have left him alone. You know, it's the same thing as regime change we try to do in Iran. You know, the CIA came in there and took out the Shah and put in the Ayatollah Khomeini, and now they're not happy there. They think they're, and I keep on hearing these stories that they're the chief sponsor of terrorism. I think, what are you talking about? All the terrorism is supported by Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the Arab Emirates, with our help and our backroom deals. In fact, even ISIS was created and supported by these nations with our help to make certain that we could do regime change again. This is craziness.
This is the point, that the Russians and Chinese are looking at Trump as an opportunity. You know, the Chinese reaction to Trump talking with the Taiwanese president, I think the New York Times and the State Department made a bigger deal out of that than it was. Trump said, right. Look, she called me, so I took the call.
Right.
He wasn't intending to ruffle the feathers of the Chinese. And after an initial reaction from China, they just said, well, look, we know that Trump is a serious person, and we're going to deal with him seriously, and we're not going to worry about it. So I think we're seeing something very dramatic as a change.
Well, it'll also mean they get control of North Korea, because they're a short choke chain. They're the bad dog of China. And that'll be part of all these negotiations, won't it?
Well, it probably will. But I think the most important thing is that if Trump talks seriously to the Chinese about infrastructure, then we're going to find something very interesting, because he's going to find that some of the top leaders of the Chinese government are builders like him.
Of course they are. You know, most of the politicians I have, my sister's husband is from China and has lots of Chinese contacts. My accountant's wife's father was head of the Taiwanese Air Force. I know what's going on over there. And these people, most of the politicians in China are engineers.
Yeah.
They're engineers. They're not lawyers like here. You know, one of the funny comments made by my friend who was over there, he said, I couldn't believe it. He said, I'm there, and all these American politicians are all attorneys, and all the Chinese politicians are engineers.
Well, and the
builders.
Chinese, they just put out a white paper where they talked about how science is going to change the future.
Right. Yeah, it's a totally different attitude toward Tier 1, Tier 2 science. They want to take what we've done and leapfrog forward. And they have the capability of doing it.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com. And learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
And welcome back. Well, there's two different models of globalism. The one that I see that's going to match up with the Bible is that there'll be strong, independent nations in a future world where there will be peace and there'll be no nuclear war, chemical, biological war. And we use science to actually stabilize the ecosphere, which will stop the man aggravated, planetary under, attack by all kinds of solar and galactic things that are pushing us toward extreme weather. Right now we're heading to a modern ice age. The fact is that we can become a positive force with other nations and science. But instead, we have pseudo-environmentalism, with people like Jill Stein. We have crazy people like the people that are warmongers that want to always say we're always at war about to have war. And we have the people that realize that if you're going to improve the carrying capacity of the planet and reduce pollution, you need science. And if science is applied properly, it can be able to allow human beings to live in a peaceful, safe world that's non-polluted and have extended lifespans and not be concerned that we're going to have a huge, devastating thermonuclear war. It's all our choice. I mean, we have to realize these are our choices.
Well, there's no question, Bill, that the world has been drawn much closer because of technology, because of transportation and so on. Communications. But to then argue that because of that, you have to have global free trade, no regulation, no boundaries, that just doesn't follow.
It doesn't. It doesn't make sense at all. And every region is different too, isn't it?
Well, and this is where someone like Thomas Friedman of the New York Times, who wrote one book, The World is Flat, he wrote another book, There is no alternative. He's the one of the leading mouthpieces at the New York Times for this idea that what Francis Fukuyama said when the senior Bush was president, we've reached the end of history. All political evolution throughout human history brought us to the point where we are today, and we finally achieved paradise, nirvana, global free trade, all under the direction of an Anglo-American intelligentsia. Now, since he wrote that book, I think it was in 1988 or 89, that transatlantic consensus has collapsed because it's not true. The nation state is not an anachronism. An isolationist nation state doesn't work. But a nation state that has the confidence of its people and the government, because they're involved in a process of advancing the scientific and technological progress of the nation, has nothing to fear.
Right.
And if it comes under attack by some predatory superpower, you have an economy and a population that supports you to fall back on. But if all you have is bluster and this Project for a New American Century doctrine, which is that the U.S. must be the undisputed sole superpower in the world. You know, what you're hearing from Eastern Europe, from Africa, from Asia, and increasingly now from Europe, is that this is not a unipolar world, it's a multipolar world, but that instead of thinking about how do you balance competing interests, why not work toward cooperation? And that's...
Well, it should be a multipolar world, but if you look at 90% of the dollars on the planet in any fungible currency, it's Fed Reserve notes, U.S. dollars. If you look at the computing power and the military power, even though Russia has a higher throw weight for nuclear weapons, America's weapon systems literally are centuries ahead of anybody else, including in space. The danger is that America, if it goes the wrong way, could try to become the single unipolar power and precipitate a nuclear war that could destroy most of the planet. Most of these other nations, Russia and China, aren't even willing to expand or try to do something. They just want to exert their own regional territorial concerns. And what I'm concerned about is that a rogue America in a future administration could really wreak havoc on the planet.
Well, my new friend Roger Stone put it this way. If Trump did nothing else than defeat the Bush machine and the Clinton machine, even if his presidency doesn't fully work, save the planet at least from a short-term path to nuclear war.
Exactly. He's averted it. In other words, he's given us a period of grace. At the very least, if only 5% of the things he wanted to do, he gets done, he's delayed a almost inevitable thing. If Hillary get in, we were moving on a fast track toward nuclear war.
Yeah. So now the question then is, how do you make sure that these clever neocons don't take over? And one of the points Roger made the other day in a discussion we had is, look, they've been in control in Washington for 40 years. They know the levers of power. They know where to go. They know who to talk to. They know who to get money from. They know the system. Trump doesn't. So Trump is going to make some stumbles. But I like something he did yesterday when the State Department came to him and said, look, you've got to start getting State Department briefings because you're going to stumble and make mistakes if you don't. Trump assigned a lower-level person to get briefed, and the State Department freaked out, and Trump said, well, then the hell with you.
Right. That's funny. Yeah. He's a comedian, too, isn't he, a bit? He has a pretty good way of discerning that he's getting scammed. He's got a scam-o-meter, I call it.
Yeah.
Amazing. Back in a moment with Harley Schlanger from Berlin, Germany, and a perspective on the rise of nationalism in Europe and the culmination in a multipolar world as a unipolar.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss.
Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
How you doing? It's Jimmy here from Zipa. Today I wanted to tell you about my efforts to achieve global elimination of snoring. It all starts with respect. Respect for yourself and respect for others. Listen, you think you're being a nice guy or a nice girl by letting the guy or girl next to you sleep and snore every night. It's the ultimate disrespect to have that happen. You wake that person up and you tell them, go to Zipa.com now. Z-Y-P-P-A-H. com. We're not going to tolerate this, all right? Snoring is not okay. Someone next to you is snoring, you tell them to buy a Zipa. Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com. I know that you're listening to these snoring things and you're thinking, well, it don't apply to me. I don't have these problems. A lot of people are in denial, but it's true. Listen, if you're snoring, you got to stop it. What you got to do is get this fixed. Get a Zipa and change your life. Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical. Issues that are coming up in the next basically month and a half before Trump takes place, his power. And he's already done a lot of things like the SoftBank issue. It seems to me that most of the things he's doing are pretty methodical. In fact, he's talking about Glass-Steagall is pretty significant, isn't it?
He's talking about two things that are significant in terms of the economy. One is Glass-Steagall, but he's saying no Dodd-Frank.
Right.
When he was asked about attaching, would he be willing to accept some form of Glass-Steagall attached to Dodd-Frank? He said no. Dodd-Frank has to go because Dodd-Frank has two aspects to it. One, it completely left the derivatives markets, the speculative side of the banking system, untouched and unregulated. It gave to the derivatives dealers, their lobbying group, the power to write the laws regulating derivatives. They still haven't finished it. But it doesn't matter because they're not going to regulate derivatives. They're going to allow the thing to continue. So that's one thing wrong with Dodd-Frank. The other thing is it penalizes those institutions that make loans to the real economy.
Well, that's why the number of real small, we call mom-and-pop banks, when Obama started, went from over 8,000 to around 6,000 now. Those banks are gone.
These are the regional banks and the community banks that are relatively solvent because their loans are in housing, they're in community projects, they're in small business, medium enterprises, and so on. But they have no access to liquidity. Now, under the new regulations, they have to comply with extremely restrictive laws for so-called transparency reasons. Now, the fact is you can look at their books and see that they don't have a lot of risk. But to comply with the regulatory standards, they have to hire accounting firms and legal firms, which the big banks have up the wazoo. So Right. It makes it harder for these small banks to make a profit, which means that what they're hoping, what the Dodd-Frank bill hoped, is that the community banks would be swept up in a fire sale so that their relatively solvent assets could be purchased by the big banks who could then cash them in, you know, use them to basically make money and then cancel the loans. And the people who owe the money will have to pay up right away. So it's a double whammy. And Trump, as I've been told, believes that the community banks play an extremely important role, and he's not going to allow this kind of regulatory murder to occur to these smaller banks. Now, on the other hand, he sees Glass-Steagall as a different form of regulation. All Glass-Steagall would enforce is that you cannot have a depository institution, that is a commercial bank that takes in people's deposits, their savings accounts, their checking accounts, their business accounts. That kind of bank can't use that liquidity to back up its trading sector. It no longer can be a commercial bank and a trading bank or an investment bank.
Right.
It means that the investment side of these too-big-to-fail banks will suddenly have to divest themselves of all the deposits and everything else that they're counting as part of their assets toward regulatory capital, which means that instead of being leveraged at 30-1, they're probably leveraged at 100-1 or 200-1, which means they're bankrupt. So they'll be forced into writing down bad assets, writing off assets, and essentially will be shutting down zombie banks. Now, Trump knows that. One of the people he's considering to be the number two regulator at the Federal Reserve is Thomas Hoenig, the former Federal Reserve president of Kansas City, who then became the deputy chairman of the FDIC, who's a big supporter of Glass-Steagall. So we're seeing some interesting things moving in that direction.
Yeah, in other words, people that are going to move the proper levers of the economy instead of the foolishness that's going on with the fake economy, which is sucking out capital and their velocity of credit is dropping. So the real economy is dying while people are speculating and making triple the money on speculation.
Well, I had an interesting discussion with a finance minister of an African country on Monday who was saying that the Chinese come in and they're making loans to the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank without conditions. Now, he's saying they're not just giving away money. They're pretty shrewd. But they're not saying you have to cut your government spending, you have to have austerity, you have to have high interest rates in order to keep you honest. He said they're making the loans to us. He said the Europeans come in and basically aren't making loans. And I said there's a reason for it. The Europeans don't have money to make loans right now because all the money they're getting from quantitative easing is going to back up these non-performing loans in what are essentially zombie banks. And he said, well, you know, I was afraid of that, but that makes a lot of sense. He said, that's why the Europeans come in as these hard asses and end up doing nothing with us. So, you know, that era is over because those banks, look, they're not even funding their own countries. There's no investment in Greece, no investment in France, no investment in Italy. In Germany, you have some investment still because you have a very strong commercial banking sector that's not the big banks. You also have a very strong Mittelstand, the small and medium enterprises. But in Europe as a whole, they're one domino away from a collapse. And after Renzi lost the referendum on Sunday, the fear was that the Monte dei Paschi Bank was going to collapse. Now, what they're doing is a limited bail-in. At the same time, Deutsche Bank and others are extending them large amounts of credit, because they know if Monte dei Paschi Bank, which is the oldest continuously operating bank in the world, it goes back to the 14th century in Siena, Italy. If it goes under, it will trigger a run on Deutsche Bank as well as on BNP Paribas and Royal Bank of Scotland. So the whole thing was poised to blow on Monday, and they did a limited short-term bail-in, a bailout, and now they're holding their breath to see if it's going to hold. The president of Italy told Renzi he can't resign, and Renzi said, "I'm sorry, I'm resigning." I think as of an hour ago, he resigned.
Right.
So the Italian situation is chaotic, but it is affecting all of Europe.
Yeah, and it's very probable that there's going to be the Jenga sticks pulled. It's going to be some pain and suffering in the banks, because they haven't dealt with these issues and they let it go too long. It's like someone that doesn't take care of a diabetic foot, and now you have to do an amputation in order to save their life.
Well, you know, LaRouche said, had we gone back to sane measures in 2008, the West could be in a robust economic recovery now, in cooperation with China and the BRICS countries in massive infrastructure investment. Instead, they decided to hold on to the old system and cling to it by their fingernails, with their dying breaths. And if you have that kind of image of what's happening, I mean, your example of the not taking care of diabetes is a very good one as well. But it's a problem where when you have a systemic breakdown and you say, don't worry, what we've been doing will eventually work, and it hasn't worked for 20 years, it's made the situation worse. At some point, someone has to cut the string and say, we're not going this way anymore.
Yeah.
And that's much of the world is going in a different direction.
I call it the analogy of the beetle against the glass window. The beetle can bump against the glass window a million times. It's not going to take the glass away. You have to change the policy. And the problem is the solutions are right before us. It's pretty straightforward. One of the things I think is kind of interesting about China, even though it's a communist country, it's plucked and taken various aspects of even Hamiltonian financing of America and other positive things from other cultures, and combined it as a chimera to make their economy robust, even under communism, which is kind of strange, isn't it?
Well, we're going to have an interesting wait till Trump comes in, because I think Trump is already in the process of putting some things in place. He had a meeting with Chuck Schumer, the senior senator from New York. And Schumer is going to be one of the leading figures for the Democratic Party in the Senate. And Schumer said, I'm with you on infrastructure. Let's get to work on it. And he and Trump had apparently a very good collegial meeting.
Right.
You have others who are saying if Trump is going to be serious about this, like Tulsi Gabbard, if he's serious about no more regime change, then we'll get along fine. So I think we're going to see some shifting go on in the what is business as usual in the political arena.
Right.
However, with all that said, the majority of the infrastructure of the Republican and Democratic parties are still controlled by bums, Wall Street-controlled swindlers in both parties at the top. And until the Bushes are run out of politics, until the people who facilitated Hillary's rise are run out of politics – until these parties really clean themselves up, we're going to have in the Congress and if Trump tries to do anything, he's going to run into stone walls from both parties.
Right.
So this is where the American people have to stay alert. This is why LaRouche PAC is so important, because we'll tell you the truth about who's putting up the stone wall, who's standing in the way of progress, who's clinging to the old paradigm and trying to suffocate the possibility of a change.
Because it's not always evident from what you see superficially or even in the news. things behind the scenes may be different.
Well, and things are very different behind the scenes. Of course, I'm not exactly behind the scenes, but I do talk to people who are. And what they're saying is there's a World War III going on in the Trump transition team over who's going to control policy. And ultimately, the thing that the neocons and the never Trump people who are trying to get back in don't realize is that Trump does feel a responsibility to the people who voted for him. That's why he's doing this thank you tour. As far as I know, this is unprecedented. And if he wants to continue to activate the people who he spoke for during his campaign, what he called in his victory speech the forgotten men and women, then he can go a long way. Now, what that means is we don't want to sit back and pat him on the back and wait for him to do something. We, the American people, have to fight. We have to become more creative. I had a long discussion with Mr. LaRouche on Saturday, and he said, we have to develop a devotion to the human race and a passion for genius. Not that everyone can become a genius, but you have to have a commitment to enable those who have that capability to fully blossom. And that means we need a cultural change. We can't have the kind of nonsense that you see leading to this fire in Oakland, you know, a bunch of people partying while the place is burning down. You know, the whole internet social networking revolution is destroying people's minds, and people think they're being creative with their tweets. They're not creative at all. They're going back into pidgin English.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's certainly not creative. It's a form of what I call self-deprecating narcissism. And it's very bizarre, to be honest with you. I mean,
you know, some people think a bowel movement is creative. You know, the thing you've really got to recognize is that there is a quality of genius that is there in the human race. That's why we've survived in spite of all the tragedy and all the foolishness. But if we actually had a commitment again to along the lines of what people around Benjamin Franklin did, the Scientific and Philosophical Society, you know, where you nurture that commitment in young children, let them discover the great ideas of the past without being captive to them.
Well, there's three elements that I consider the elements of genius. The first element is the willingness to ask questions that make you uncomfortable. The second is a persistence to try to find the answers. And the third element is the bravery to accept those things that change your paradigm. That's what real genius is. It's not necessarily accumulating all the knowledge or having a lot of degrees behind your name. It's the willingness to do those three things. So real genius, whether it's Albert Einstein or someone working in biological or geopolitical or financial realms, involves those three elements. I see that in Trump, which is why he's successful. I see it in some of the people he's trying to surround him with and in the LaRouche Foundation. Willing to ask questions, willing to be uncomfortable, willing to find a solution and persist to try to put it in place like Glass-Steagall. That's the elements of genius.
Friedrich Schiller, the great German poet and philosopher, said that the true scholar is one who loves the truth more than any system.
Right, which is contrast starts that, off as pursuing the tough questions. The smartest person in the room is not one with all the answers, but one who asks the best questions.
Well, and what Schiller said is that you have the flip side, the bread scholar, which is what we have in think tanks.
Right.
The ones who will basically say what's needed to get the bread. And, you know, this is people who will prefer a system that pays to the truth. And we've got to get people willing to take the risks that go with seeking truth.
Yeah.
And the most important risk is you get isolated.
You feel uncomfortable, and you make other people uncomfortable around you.
And you end up like LaRouche in prison because he wouldn't stop challenging false axioms.
Well, I've seen in medical research and the response of my medical colleagues, which I consider galactic knuckleheads. They didn't want to accept the truth that diabetics have high insulin or toxins can attach to your cells and cause autoimmune disease and cancer. They don't want to say that their paradigm, that pain is controlled in your head really when it's really in your skin, that the skin is a primary pain organ. But again, the same thing applies with geopolitical issues and spiritual issues. That by and large, our education system wants bread scholars, like you say. They want regurgitators. I call it the intellectual maggots that absorb and regurgitate with things unaltered, and they maintain the status quo. which is really bad, because if you don't adapt, you die.
Well, and we're seeing that now, because our system, the system we live in, is about to go under, and there's a new system that's there for us. And that's
one of the questions I'd like to ask you, Harley, I guess we'll do it in the next show, is what constitutes a new economy? And when you are talking about Foxconn moving facilities back here, these are going to be robotic factories with lower levels of employees and higher tech training. What is an economy in 2050?
What is it? Make that up next week.
Absolutely. Thank you, Harley. An amazing discussion today and very positive.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
It's the end of suffering. It's the end of loss of your health. I get a range of calls and requests by email. Some people, of course, they can immediately start on the protocols. Others can only take a few of the protocols because their finances are limited. But we can pray with them. We can try to find pathways that will combine things. For example, I have a gentleman that had diabetes, and he's taking some of our nutraceuticals within his budget, and he wants to take medications, but he has to be very cautious. If you take any medications that raise blood insulin levels, it's actually deleterious. You want to take things like glucophage if you're taking along with our nutriments, if you have to, and hopefully eventually you can get off that. because you've modulated your diet with things like glycemics, and you've taken things like diabetoline, leptin metabolic, and berberstatin to lower insulin, glucagon, and leptin and insulin resistance. But the next thing to do is to pray. We can combine a combination of things of diet, lifestyle, and prayer will often tell us what are the things we need to do that can keep within your budget. And there's a whole range of things. I mean, there's no one size fits all. We have NutriMeds, we have technology, we have everything from hyperbaric oxygen and ozone to peptides from the Russian Academy of Sciences. We have stem cell therapy lines. We have all kinds of technology that can help to promote healing in your body. But you have to have the proper nutrients present there and the minerals and nutrients in their activated form so they can jump over any gene SNP problems. And it's going to change. Your needs will change, and we need to be able to do testing, whether it's blood, urine, stooling, or the testing. One of the best tests is the QRMA, and you can buy the QRMA machine over time, and all of your tests are covered. In other words, it doesn't cost you a cent to resend in a compressed file. A lot of people try to make it complicated. All you do is you just save the file when you're doing the test, send the uncompressed, you know, the unzipped file back to me along with a bit of history. Tell me a few sentences, exactly what's going on, what's better, what's not, what natural nutraceuticals you're taking from us. And I strongly recommend you don't run around and take nutraceuticals elsewhere. Unfortunately, a gentleman contacted me yesterday, and he has a pretty serious eye problem, and it sounded like he needed a consult, but he can't afford a full consult. So I started him on a recommendation of a few things to start, but unfortunately he's getting nutraceuticals from another place. That place happens to be Alex Jones and his group. Now, these are not functional medicine doctors. You have to understand, if you don't know how to do proper management, and you don't have the proper formulas in the first place, and you don't know how to do testing, whether it's blood, urine, stool, imaging, or quantum diagnostics, how do you know where you are at? So there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. It's not just a matter of popping a specific pill and then the problem goes away. So please don't do that. You know, I know some people think, well, they're supporting this particular ministry by buying their products. Don't do it. If it's nutraceuticals, if it's something else like DVDs or videos or preparedness supplies, like maybe, you know, things for your home or if you're for self-defense, but don't waste your time and effort wasting your money on nutraceuticals from other places where you know they're not going to be the same quality. So just a word of warning, if you need help, even just prayer, email me, call, give time windows, I'll call you back, I'll try to help you. And again, we have the NutriMed Santa program going on. If you contact us, we will ship with a card to anybody you want to be either stocking stuff or just under their tree or just send to them some NutriMeds to try to promote their health during the season where, unfortunately, over the holidays and the stress of, I call stressmas, more people get diagnosed with serious illnesses between now and January than any other time of the year. So let us be there for you and for your friends and relatives. Let's be an assistant to you to be a NutriMed Santa. Back in a moment with hour number two. Coming up, hour number three, Dr. Bob Teal, interesting dialogue. Don't want to miss it. Leo Zagami, first hour tomorrow from Rome.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutriMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutral. Neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.